Welcome, everybody. This is Mordechai Plotzker. Welcome to the nightly share, thesharenjoyment.com. Pleasure to be here. Tonight's learning is dedicated to the successful missions of our chayalim and chayalot, and for our brothers and sisters in Eretz Yisrael. We hope we daven, we pray, we learn that we should only hear besuros tovos. So Parshas Vayera continues into a very interesting segment in Sefer Bereishis, where Avraham Avinu becomes the Av Hamon Goyim. And it's very interesting to begin the parsha by explaining how do we know that there are three guests that had to arrive. So it says, Vayera elav Hashem belone mamre, v'hu yoshe pesach ho'o el kechom ayom. So on this, actually, before we even go there to that question, we first have to ask ourselves, why is Eloni Mamre mentioned? It could just say, Vayera elav Hashem, v'hu yoshe pesach ho'o el kechom ayom. Why is Eloni Mamre singled out as the place in which he is staying? And the answer is because the Medrash brings down that Abram had three close friends named Aner, Eshkol, and Mamre. And when in last week's parsha, we learned that Avraham Avinu had done the milah, he first consulted with them. And he asked them whether or not he should go ahead with it. Now there's a question on that. Why does Avraham Avinu have to consult with anybody if Hashem told him to do so? And I saw an interesting answer that's brought down by Rav Miller from Gateshead. In the 1960s, he wrote a sefer on Shabbos Shiurim. He explained that he wanted to bring his friends in to the fold, to bring them into the decision-making process. Much like HaKadosh Baruch Hu had said, Nasa Adam, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not need anyone's help to create man. Hashem could do everything on his own. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Nasa Adam, let us build man. So what's the explanation there? That we have an achrayus, actually, says Chazal, you know, Kedushas Levi and many others, to build up our neighbors, build up our friends. And in the same way that when a baby comes to a bris, right, everyone is present. And what we're saying is, Kishem Shenichmas Abris, Kin Yikonos Torah Chobamas, and told them, what we're saying is that we brought you here to this moment, you're going to get this bris, and we're going to support you, and we're going to help you, we're going to educate you, we're going to provide advice, counsel, and we're going to be there for you in order for you to grow into the Ben Torah that you can become. So that's the same idea that's expressed over here. Aner, Eshkol, and Mamre were not going to be able to follow Avram's lead, but he wanted to bring them in. So in a way of bringing them in, he also distanced himself somewhat from them because he went ahead with the Mila. So what did Aner say? Aner said, Inu Nefesh Rad, that if you go ahead with this Mila, then you're not going to be able to survive. So don't do it. Then Avram turned to Eshkol. What do you say, Eshkol? Eshkol said, Avram Sonim Kovrim Lach, that your enemies will bury you, meaning you'll survive the Mila, but you'll be in such a weakened state that you wouldn't be able to survive. And in a sense that if your enemies come upon you, how will you defend yourself? And the last was Mamre. Mamre had no qualms. Mamre said, you just escaped the Kibshana Esh, you know, in the prior Parsha, leading into Lech Lecha, right? So, Maher Malei Ritzon Avicha Sheba Shemayim, that you should quickly go ahead and fulfill the will of Hashem. And this is the reason why Mamre's name is mentioned. Now, the next question we have on the first Pasuk is, Avraham Avinu, and actually for the first five psukim, has a name. But his name is conspicuously absent. Excuse me, I don't know what I must have had something that's like a little bit sticky in my throat. I apologize. So his name is absent. We know Avraham Avinu has a name. Why is his name not there? Everything is Avraham Avinu, obviously, we're talking about. So the Kedushas Levi picks up on this and says that when a person tries to do a mitzvah, right, every time a person does a mitzvah, they create a malach. Actually, this is the Ginza Yisrael. But the Kedushas Levi says that there are two shefa that are brought into the world. One is that's formed and one that's unformed. The formed is what we make of it, and the unformed is what we create, obviously. So Avraham Avinu, when he was unable to do the normal tasks that he normally would do because of the difficulties that, you know, coming out of surgery, so therefore, the fact that he wished so much to help and to cater to folks, this is a self-transformation. So, for example, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Shin Vav Resh, out comes an ox. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts the letters, Sin Resh, Fei Yud, Mem, Srafim, out comes celestial angel. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu, B'dvar Hashem Shemayim Nasiv, at the words of Hashem, all these things are created. So here, Avraham Avinu's name, he literally broke his kli kibble. Everyone has a vessel. So when they do mitzvahs, the matan tovim, they, so to speak, fill up the vessel with these mitzvahs or gold coins. But imagine if you literally break the vessel. How do you break the vessel? It overflows. It just can't contain all of the gold coins, so to speak, all of the mitzvahs. And then the process of breaking this vessel, a new one is then created, and that one is a new kli kibble. While this new vessel is being created, a person does not have a name. A person is only able to hold on to the letters that form his name while the kli kibble has not yet reached the zenith. Once it reaches the zenith and it goes above and it breaks the kli kibble, then you're in a different sphere. And that's what Avraham Avinu was in. He was in a different level because he broke the kli kibble. And that's the reason, explains the Kedushas Levi, why his name is not present in the first pasuk, and for that matter, the first five pasukim. The next thing that we see in the pasuk is that it says that he sees that there are three people, Shlosh Anashim, Nitzavim Alav. And the question then is, why three? So here the Ginzi Yisrael, Rabbi Yisrael Friedman, the Chartik Rav, explains that a person wants, desires to create, to do a mitzvah for someone else. Mitzvah means a command. He wants to fulfill a command of Hashem, such as Machnasas Arachim in Avraham Avinu's case, and he's unable to. So Hashem says, Malo kasukilu asa, I give him the credit as though he's already done it. So when you reach that level, that every single time that you create him, every time that a person wants to do a mitzvah, if surely when he does the mitzvah, he creates the malach. But even when a person desires to do the mitzvah and he's unable to do so for whatever mitigating reason, the car won't start, he just came out of surgery, things like of that nature, then you create a malach just the same as if you had done it. So therefore, Avraham Avinu tried for 3 days to have the strength and actually to see the opportunity to help other people and welcome them into his home. And as a result, he created three malachim. It's interesting, Chazal bring down that, Kedushas Levi also brings it down, that when the three malachim were obviously Raphael to heal Avraham Avinu, Michael to inform Sarah that she was going to have a baby boy, and Gabriel to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. The second explanation to this is that he actually saw Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. He saw a picture of himself. He saw Yitzchak and he saw Yaakov. And we all know that the Avos look very similar to one to the other, right? As we say, Eile Tolos Avram, Avram holy this Yitzchak, in order that people should not suspect that when Sarah was taken captive, it was someone else's child. No, nothing happened. And therefore, this is Avram's son. How do you know? Because he looks exactly like Avraham Avinu. And the same thing is true with Yaakov in relation to how Yitzchak looked. But the idea is very powerful, that he sees three people. These three people are the shalshalas, that when you have a shalshala, it's not going to be broken. There's a saying for this, but right now that saying escapes me. But the idea is that he sees the future. And vayar vayar the krasam. Sometimes when a person is drawn to someone else, they sense a certain level of Kedusha. The attraction is very strong. And so they're sensing the Kedusha. So Avraham Avinu sensed there's something very special here. And so he ran toward them. And Mimanim Shach, if someone doesn't have that positive energy, then they usually are a little bit more cautious. But Avraham Avinu had no qualms. When he saw these three angels coming, he knew right away that they were very special. And and then he says over here, just to give you something really interesting, that Avraham Avinu runs to his house and he tells he tells Sarah that there's some guests outside. And then the next pasuk says, "Bakar Ratzaram." Where are we? Wow. Okay, the time is up. But I wanted to just give you the there's a beautiful medrash on Bakar Ratzaram. Normally, when you see a cow, it doesn't run anywhere. And the pasuk is telling us that the cow is running away from Avraham Avinu. He catches up to this cow, obviously, and he brings it back to the meal. But Be'ala Bakar Ratz Avram, it could have just said Be'ala Bakar Kach Avram, like he took the cow. Instead, it says that he had to run after it. So the Medrash brings down that that cow ran into a field, and in this field, he sees a glowing light, and he's drawn to this field, which ends up becoming the Machpelah, which is what we're going to discuss in next week's Parsha. And the word Machpelah, as my neighbor in Brooklyn, Kalman, Clonimus Kalman, used to say to me, is Gematria 175, which is the number of years that Avram lived. Hamachpelah is 180, which is the number of years that Avram should have lived. He died 5 years young because he didn't want, HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't want to see, allow Avram to see Esav go off the derech. But there was something about this land that he had to receive, he had to get it. So he davened there. He was attracted to this. The Shechina was right there. And next week, Metzushem, we'll talk about Vayakam Hamara V'Asada, that the earth stood up in deference to Avraham Avinu. What does that mean exactly? What did Avraham Avinu find inside this cave? Where is this cave located? Obviously, we know that's going to be the Maris HaMachpelah in Hebron, which is the oldest linkage that the Jewish people have to the land of Israel. And so much of what we're experiencing today in Eretz Yisrael is being played out in the parshiyos that we are discussing, especially as we, you know, move forward. We have to remember that this was the second day and first day. Rosh Hashanah laning is in Parshas Vayera, at the tail end of the parsha with the Akedah. And just one small thought about the Akedah. We know that it's called Akedas Yitzchak, right? But it really should be called Akedas Avraham. Why? Because Avraham Avinu was the one who had to take his son, who he asked, well, where is my son? I have everything. That's the reason why we ended up going down to Mitzrayim. But he wants to know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm going to make you, that's a child. I'm going to make you wealthy. I'm going to make you famous. Avraham Avinu says, the fame and the wealth is great, but what do I have if I don't have a child to give it over? What is all of this? What's the purpose of this? Yes, it's true, you can give it to good causes. Yes, it's true, you know, if you find a nice family, you want to help them out. Yeah, that's wonderful. And it should be done if it can be done. But Avraham Avinu is asking for a child, and yet we see that he almost loses this child. And so... so we see that Avraham Avinu... Akedas Yitzchak. And the reason why it's called Akedas Yitzchak is because Avraham Avinu, Yitzchak could have said... Avraham Avinu, Yitzchak could have said that... there's a very big... obviously, yeah. So the Chassam Sofer brings down the answer that Avraham Avinu could have easily said that it could have... Yitzchak could have said that, Avraham, you may have heard this wrong, and maybe it was somebody else, and how do you know it's really me? And then, you know, Yitzchak says, no, he didn't question his father. He says, Abba, if you heard this, then we're going to do it. They went to the Akedah. At first, Yitzchak had no idea if he was going to be the Ola. And then when he learns, you know, I see the knife, I see the wood, but where is the Ola? So, Lekim Yerli Yaseh, so Hashem will show us. And even though that made Yitzchak, it could make most people, you know, fearful, Yitzchak went ahead, and it says the word Yachtov again. So the first Yachtov is when he wasn't knowing. Second Yachtov is with the same level of enthusiasm when he did know. And that's the reason why it's called Akedas Yitzchak, because everything was taloi on Yitzchak Avinu listening to his father. It's one thing for Hashem to give over a tzivoy. It's another level for the person to follow through on the tzivoy, which is what Avram did. But since it wasn't on himself to be done, it was on Yitzchak. It was Talo and Yitzchak, and that's the reason why Yitzchak is referred to as Akedas Yitzchak. And just one last thought on this parsha, because we know that the pasuk says, "Ata kasaba elai," that there was a little girl who was the daughter of Lot, found a person who wasn't able to take care of himself, and provided that person with the bread and nourishment. And when the people of Sodom and Gomorrah found out about what this little girl had done, they feathered and tarred her, put honey on her, and she died a miserable, painful death. And so that's how cruel the people were over there in Sodom and Gomorrah, and it had to be destroyed. But it's what's powerful about this whole exchange is that Hashem delivered this punishment because of the cries of one girl. And it would be enough to say if everybody was upset. No, but the words of the pasuk say, Hakta kasa, that it's her particular cry that comes out to me. The only thing I can think of that's something similar to this is when Miriam turns to her father, Amram, and says, "You're worse than Paro." Because Paro was Gozal's Charam, but you, by divorcing your wife, my mother, Yocheved, you're worse than Paro because now no children will come into the world. Because when you divorced, the Medrash says, all of the Jewish men and women got divorced, and then there was no one that was being born in Klal Yisrael. So think about the ramifications of your actions. And then he ended up remarrying his wife. So that's when they had Moshe. So it's so powerful to think that one girl, one little girl, whether it was a six-year-old Miriam or whether it was this girl who was helping out a needy individual in Sodom and Gomorrah by providing food and nourishment, this is what turns HaKadosh Baruch Hu's attention. Yes, we know that we are in a very difficult, challenging time in Eretz Yisrael, and we are saying Tehillim every morning, every night, after Mincha, after Marv, after Shacharis. It's almost as though if we had a chance we can blow shofar, we would blow shofar again. But that's how sincere and dedicated all of Klal Yisrael is, the learning, the davening. There are kahanim that are giving blessings day and night all around the world for Klal Yisrael. There's something very special that's happening over here. The gates of heaven are clearly opening up. So, but there's another level to our davening that we are maybe lacking, and that's crying. When a person cries, they say, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, that's when a person is judged. So it's very difficult to cry because you have to bring yourself to a very heightened state of emotion. But when a person cries, whether it's a girl or a boy, whether it's a male or a female, whether it's a Bubby or a Zaidi, whomever it is, that is the highest level of tefillah. That literally shakes worlds. It opens up the worlds above us. And I think that's something that hopefully, you know, this week is a very, very difficult week. Just before I gave the shiur, there was someone that texted that said that the army is going into Shifa Hospital, and it's like a hornet's nest over there. So we have to daven, we have to have in mind all the chayalim and the chayalot that they should emerge successfully. The war should hopefully, God willing, soon come to an end, and that peace should be restored to our brothers and sisters in Eretz Yisrael. And we should only know and hear B'surah Tovos, Mordechai Plotzker, wishing you a week filled with Hatzlacha and Bracha, and B'chol Asher Tifneh Tatzliach.